Successful people can be at the top of their game in the business world and as parents, but it can sometimes be difficult to stay above it all. Now it's time to learn from an entrepreneur who has made this a reality. Welcome to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood, hosted by Chris Efesiou. Chris and his guests will share ideas and experiences to help you manage your life in business and as a parent. Now, here's Chris Efesiou.
Do you worry about your daughter's life? Is it really getting more unsafe for girls these days, or are we just being paranoid? What has social media and media in general done for our daughter's world? What should our daughter watch out for when she's dating? What if my daughter is rebellious and doesn't want to listen to me? What if all her friends are doing stuff? How do I keep her from joining them? And what about date rape? These are but a few of the questions that worried me when I was raising my daughter as a single dad, and since then, those questions not only have not disappeared, but they have become more paramount in importance and more urgent in timing. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris, broadcasting live in a split edition today from Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles. I am Chris Efesiou. My guest today is Pat Brown. Pat is a nationally known criminal profiler, television commentator, author, and the founder and CEO of the Sexual Homicide Exchange and the Pat Brown Criminal Profiling Agency. Pat has provided crime commentary and profiling and forensic analysis in over 2,000 television and radio appearances in the U.S. and across the globe. And she can be seen regularly on MSNBC, CNN, and Fox, and on The Nancy Grace Show, Issues with Jane Velez Mitchell, The Today Show, The CBS Early Show, Larry King, Joy Behar, and Inside Edition. Her Blog Talk radio show, Profile This, airs on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern. She's also the author of several books, including The Profiler, My Life Hunting Serial Killers and Psychopaths, Killing for Sport, Inside the Minds of the Serial Killers, and the recently released How to Save Your Daughter's Life. I have long been an admirer of her work and her straight-up delivery style, and it is indeed my honor and privilege to have her on the show today. Pat, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Glad to be here.
Wonderful. To help lay the foundation for our listeners, please tell us a bit about your background and how it is that you became a profiler.
Well, I've been a criminal profiler for about, I think it's about 16 years now, and I came in a rather unusual way because 16 years ago I was a medical sign language interpreter working at the hospitals, and I was a homeschooling mom, and I rented a room in my house to a man who about 4 weeks later I suspected of murdering a jogger after my girlfriend broke up with him because she was dating him. And I turned in evidence to the police, and basically, they ignored it in spite of the fact he even admitted to being at the location. And it took me 6 years after doing a tremendous amount of studying in criminal profiling and learning to be an investigator, private investigator, to get that case reopened. And it was reopened 6 years later, and he was finally brought in for questioning. He became the number one suspect. And now it's been 20 years, and the case is still open because one of the things I found out as a criminal profiler of 16 years worth of work is that if you don't get there soon enough, you can lose too much evidence, and you can have a pretty good idea who might have done it, but you can't prove it. So the case remains unsolved, and the person who is guilty, whether it was this man or not, is still out there. So that got me very interested. I mean, that's how I got into criminal profiling. But along the way, when people ask me why I wrote this book, How to Save Your Daughter's Life, it's because of this kind of thing. This young woman who was murdered in that case in 1990, she's 22 years old. She's recently graduated from college and was a NASA intern, and she went jogging at dusk. One of those things I recommend in the book, never, never, never do, because it is a very dangerous time. And she was alone on the trail when she was returning to her car. The last person on the trail as dark fell, and she never made it back to her car.
Fascinating. Well, my daughter was a teenager in the last decade, but many things have changed since then, not the least of which is the proliferation of social media, mobile devices, and the like. Is it really getting more unsafe for girls these days, or are we just being paranoid?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. It's like, what are you trying to do with this book? You know, we're afraid of everything now and everybody. I'm not trying to make people paranoid, but I am trying to make them very aware. And yes, I think the world has gotten a bit more dangerous for girls. One reason is because they have a lot of freedom in this country. They move around a lot. Families aren't home as much as they used to be. So our daughters are out more. They're running around more. They're going between houses, between, you know, one mom's house and dad's house. And dad's got a new girlfriend. And mom's got a new boyfriend. So all these new people in their lives. Then social media has come in. And one of the things I point out with social media is that if you actually think back in time, when I was growing up, there were only two doors to the house, front and back.
Yep.
And mom and dad controlled both of those doors. And there was one phone hanging on the wall. And when that sucker rang, we had no idea who was. So if you had some boy calling, pretty sure that your mom or dad was going to answer and say, who is that boy calling you? So there were your parents controlled a lot of the people who would come in contact with you. But now with social media, we've opened a lot more doors to our daughters' lives. We have no clue who they're interfacing with, who's talking to them, who's luring them. We just don't know what's going on. And that, so, yes, I think the world has gotten more dangerous, both physically and just through all the ways of connecting in this world through the Internet and social media.
It is absolutely true. And your book talks about the behaviors that may put teens into harm's way, but that almost sounds like blaming the victim.
That's what my hate mail says. You know, every time I do a television show, somebody's going to send me a piece of hate mail, and they'll say, how dare you? You know, you said that when that girl, you know, because the girl went jogging, you know, you blaming her, you know, and shouldn't you be blaming the psychopath and not the poor victim? I mean, you're saying she caused her own murder. And I'm like, no. That's not what I'm saying. You know, obviously, it's very obvious, the criminal is responsible for his behaviors. He is committing a crime. So he is the guilty party. However, there are times when we all put ourselves in more risky situations. And our daughters put themselves in more risky situations that put them in front of a psychopath, put them in the crosshairs of a psychopath. And if you weren't out doing certain things, you might not be in that kind of dangerous situation. And I liken it a lot to like traveling. You know, if you're going to travel to a certain location in the world, like right now Egypt is exploding, you know, with a kind of anti-American stuff going on there because that video that hit the Internet, and they're rioting all over Tahrir Square. Well, I was in Tahrir Square right before the revolution. You know, so right now if I go back to Tahrir Square and start wandering around, you know, somebody may do something to me. Because right now it's a dangerous location. So that's what we need to work with our daughters to say, okay, it's not that I'm saying you're doing a bad thing necessarily, but certain things that you do can put you in the company of psychopaths or put you in areas of psychopaths. So that's what we want to protect our daughters, make sure that they make wise decisions, and we help them make those wise decisions. And if necessary, we put our foot down and say, this is a decision that's going to be made because you're obviously not making a good one, and we don't want you getting killed.
Right. And just so that we have a clear understanding, this term psychopath is almost used in a colloquial everyday lingo. Define for us what a psychopath in the clinical or forensic sense is. What is that personality?
Yeah, it's a personality disorder, but, you know, they're not crazy. That's the first thing. They're not psychotic. People confuse psychopathy with being psychotic. They know what's real and what isn't real. They know what's true and what isn't true. But a psychopath, there's a number of traits that they have, but the ones that we want people to recognize, because they're the ones they'll be able to see, pathological lying. These people tend to lie a lot because they enjoy doing it, and they like to manipulate people, so lying is one way to manipulate. Manipulation is another methodology. In other words, they're not going to be fair. They're not working with you. They're manipulating you. They're very narcissistic people. It's all about them. It's not about you. You are their pawn. So you're either useful or you're in the way. So if you're out on the street, for example, and you're talking about serial predators, those guys, you know, everybody to them is just something to be used or abused. So they don't really care about you. They have no empathy. They just want you for whatever reasons they want you for. If you're meeting up with somebody and you're getting into a relationship with them, you can also recognize the signs there. Or I'm hoping to teach people to recognize the signs, especially the young girls. Especially when the guy steps over this line and does not respect you, when he treats you like an object, when it's all about him and your opinion does not matter, your feelings don't matter, it's all, you know, you're always walking on eggshells trying to make him happy, 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 because it's all about him. That's a very good sign that there's a personality disorder. And, you know, whether it's a severe narcissistic personality disorder or a borderline personality disorder, a psychopathic disorder, what we're talking about is somebody who is definitely more about him than about being fair to the person he's in the relationship with. So that's what we want young women to recognize, that when they're not being treated right, that's somebody you want to run away from, male or female. Could be a female doesn't treat a girl right, as a friend or somebody's bullying her. You know, that's somebody who is, you know, getting off essentially on making you miserable, because it gives them power, and they like that.
And they see you as a tool, as a pawn. You said, you know, just
anything they use you. That's essentially what it comes down to. They're not concerned about your happiness, your welfare, whether you're moving on in life in a good way. It's all about, what are you doing for me? Are you sucking up to me? Are you making me happy? Are you catering to me? And if I'm dragging you into, let's say, I'm dragging you into a life of drugs and alcohol, is that so I can have a companion? I'm obviously not looking out for your health, because who takes a friend and makes their life miserable?
Exactly.
You know, so something is wrong with that. So it's something we want to really work with our daughters to teach themselves to respect themselves and say, hey, I'm very, very valuable, and any of my friends, male or female, ought to treat me like I'm a valued person. And if they start stepping over that line, I should step back and say, maybe this is somebody that I don't need in my life.
Yes, and more people, teenagers, adults, male, female, should actually be doing that, because this is one particular case where quantity matters very little and quality is really what's paramount.
There you go. Yes.
You mentioned before that, you know, going out in the dusk and jogging, those are no-nos, and you gave a couple of other examples, all of which deal with a person's behavior outside the home. But let's take it inside the home. Is there danger in the home?
Yeah, now we need to start there, because our children do spend the most of their time in the home, if we actually look at it. Some, you know how people say sometimes, you know, home is the most dangerous place? Well, they're right, because that's where relationships occur. That's where a person is very intimate with everybody. So right in your own home, first you have to check yourself. I say adults, start with yourself. Parents, start with yourself. Are you a danger to your child? Nobody wants to hear that. You know, I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? And, you know, but maybe you are the danger. Maybe you're the problem. Maybe you do drugs. Maybe you have a bad temper. Maybe you drink too much. Maybe you have a relationship with somebody that you keep bringing some creepy person into the house around your daughter. Maybe you move that person in. I've known him, the boyfriend, for 6 weeks, and I'm moving him on into the house. And then while I'm at work, he's at home because he's not employed. Your daughter comes home from school, and he decides he can have some afternoon amusement with your daughter. So we have to start with ourselves. Are we providing a safe environment? You know, are we part of the problem? Work on that. And, you know, the number one thing we should make sure, that our daughter can walk through our doors and at home she feels safe. Because if she doesn't, for one thing, something may happen to her in the house by way of what you do or what your boyfriend or girlfriend does. And secondly, she may run away from that house because she doesn't like being there. And once she runs away, she's perfect, you know, target for prostitution, drugs, alcohol, you know, just guys wanting to use her for pregnancy. All her life is right down the toilet because she doesn't want to be at home. So we have to start with our homes, make sure they're great places to be.
Great advice. My guest is Pat Brown, and you're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris FSCU. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. Throughout this hour, I look forward to hearing your questions. Call us at 1-866-472-5788 or email your question to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Please visit my website, chrisefesiou.com or chiefdaddyofficer.com. My Facebook page is Chris Efesiou and follow me on Twitter at Chief Daddy Officer. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Pat Brown, and you do want to visit her website, patbrownprofiling.com. Her Facebook page is Criminal Profiler Pat Brown, and you may follow her on Twitter at Profiler Pat B. Before we went on break, Pat was telling us and lots of good information about what is happening to the world that our children live in, especially our daughters, what it is that we can do to keep them out of harm's way and from the obvious to the not so obvious, as well as answering the question, is your child safe at home? And the answer to that, fortunately or unfortunately, is as simple as complex as taking a look at yourself in the mirror. Are you the problem or could you be the problem for your child in your own home by way of your behavior? So, Pat, I want to, as I started this segment by discussing our Facebook and Twitter handles and the like, social media is certainly something that adults, teenagers, young adults, we all do because clearly they have enormous marketing value. But as valuable as they are for when used properly, they can be pretty dangerous when used improperly. Comment on that, if you will. Not only the social media, but media in general. What's the impact on our children?
Well, you know, it's one of these things that's gotten so huge that people can't even imagine now what it was like without it, that any child, teenager, could be without social media. I've had people say, our kids are obviously already involved in social media, and we can't back them off. I'm like, well, actually, you can. But let's take a look first at what social media does. And I could point out, I mean, it has good things, too. I mean, it's nice sometimes to be able to get a hold of people. I mean, my children are all grown, but I do keep track of what they're doing on Facebook. I'm like, oh, they're over there tonight. You know, it's kind of like almost like a spy. I can just go on my daughter's Facebook page and see what she's doing and who she's hanging out with. She's 31, but I can, you know, still get an idea, and it's kind of fun because she'll put up pictures, and so I get to be part of my kids' life, you know, even though, you know, they're grown and I'm not around them all the time. So I enjoy some of these aspects, and of course I used Facebook in business and Twitter in business, but I can tell you as an adult, I've had a lot of harassment through Facebook and Twitter, because you get crazy people. you're probably on these too. You understand. You get lunatics that come after you. People with severe personality disorders, they can stalk you. They can harass you. They can bully you. They can be very merciless, and they can, and if this is, you know, what an adult has to deal with, can you imagine some of our teenage kids, their parents aren't paying any mind to, you know, what they're involved in on Facebook and Twitter, and their kids are just kind of off doing their own thing. And one day, you know, mom goes in the bedroom and finds her daughter hanging from the curtain rod. And she's like, what happened, you know? And then she finds out her daughter was being bullied horribly on Facebook and Twitter. And her daughter just could not withstand all the attacks and the cruelty. You know, I know how it feels when I get hate mail. You know, it's part of the business. I deal with it. But it still, you know, it still affects you to some extent. You can't say I have absolutely no, you know, negative effects from receiving vicious hate mail. There's still that moment where you go, oh, that's not really nice, you know. And, you know, in the beginning, it really affected me a lot. When I first got on, first had email even. And I got my first hate emails. I was kind of stunned because I wasn't used to it. And then over time, again, you know, I've been on so long now, 10 years on television, I have a hate file now, you know, it's like, I just go, oh, here comes a hater, into the hate file. And sometimes now they just make me laugh. I mean, you're the stupidest poor woman I've ever listened to. Thank you. You know,
yep.
I know that when it first started with me, how it was kind of a slam on the side of the head, and it was really hard to take. And I was an adult who put myself in the fire by going on television and being controversial. But your teenage daughter, she might, you know, 13 years old. She's not used to this kind of stuff. And she just thinks she's just talking with friends, but then her friends of a friend, who really isn't a friend, start coming on her pages. She doesn't, you know, have the wisdom to not allow them there. And they start taunting her and they start bullying her, and it can be really just so damaging to her psyche that, you know, for parents, you have to be aware that this is a door into your daughter's life that has been opened up. And if you're going to allow it, you should be, you know, somewhat responsible for the traffic that comes through it, because this is a child. This is not an adult. So, you know, just like the traffic through your front door, if you wouldn't let criminals into your house, if you wouldn't let bullies into your house, if you wouldn't let drug dealers and thugs into your house, why is your daughter associating with them on the internet? You know, why is she going to chat rooms and talking with creepy people? Why is she having creepy people on her Facebook page being mean to her? You know, why is this being allowed? So we have to get, if we're going to allow our children to have social media, I think we have to also be responsible for our children's involvement in social media and who is contacting her. So we have to be the adults in the situation, not just say, oh, well, I don't want to, you know, mess up my kid's life, so let her do whatever with whomever. You know, we have to step in and say, okay, I'm the parent. I have to help make decisions. One of those decisions may be you're not going to have a smartphone. You know? Ooh,
yep.
You know, what a concept. You'll have a cell phone that actually dials a phone number. Ah, you know, everybody thinks you have to have a smartphone. No, your kid at 12 does not have to have a smartphone. So you can make that decision when you think, if you think it's appropriate, if your daughter's old enough, if she's mature enough, if it can be used properly, you can make the decision. And I'm not telling a parent, you know, exactly what decision they should make, but they should at least be aware of, you know, that their daughter may not be mature enough to be able to handle what's coming and going if your parents do not have some kind of interaction and input.
That's very wise advice, and that leads us to something that is a personal pet peeve of mine, and it especially hits me upside the head every time I chat with a parent and they tell me, well, you know, my son, my daughter is constantly on their phone and texting and, you know, tweeting or whatever, but I don't know anything about that. That wasn't around when I was a kid. Well, while
right.
That may be true, you as a responsible parent, as a responsible adult, I feel that it is your business to make it your business to learn what your children are doing, what technologies they are using. And we're not talking about rocket science here. I mean, every home has a computer now, or some device that communicates to the outside world outside than dialing a phone number. So if your child is using it, you must know how to use it, or at least what it does, what that device or what that system does, and how it is that it may help or harm your child if left unattended.
Right. You know, this is really no different than just a television set, because when my kids were growing up, this was, I think, okay, I'm 57, so I'm trying to remember when the computer came in and the internet and all that. I do remember my son, when he was a teenager, telling me I ought to get an email address, and I said, what for? I can't even believe I said that at one point, but I did. And then I got that, and then I got my websites, and then, you know, I've been on the internet ever since. But when they were growing up, we had one television. Television was in the living room. And there was a rule in the house. You could not turn the television on without permission. Because even though we didn't have all the social media back then, and we actually didn't have that much cable stuff going on either, so it was really mostly the major channels that, you know, used to be. But I would hear parents say, well, how do you keep your kids from watching all this stuff, you know, that you don't necessarily want them watching? I'm like, they don't have permission? So I had a lot of parents telling me their kids would just go turn the television on, watch whatever they wanted. And I'm like, why don't you just tell them they can't do that? And they were shocked back then. They're like, you mean you actually say to the kids you can't watch? I'm like, yes. My kids had to have permission to watch television because I did not want them to spend their days, first of all, wasted with a bunch of junk. I wanted them to get up. I wanted them to play. I wanted them to study. I wanted them to do art. I wanted them to do music, practice their piano. I didn't want them sitting there watching a bunch of crap television, even back in the, you know, when my kids were in the 1980s. So the rule was you had to have permission. And so we had specific shows. We watched as family. My kids would sometimes peruse the TV guide and come up with stuff they wanted to see and go, Mom, this is such a great show. We ought to see it, you know, and they have to come up with a good pitch, you know, to get it to be one of them. And that was just the way life was in our house. And it's true, when they went to some of their friends' houses occasionally, the television was on and other stuff was there. But our rules at our house were, no, you know, you just don't go turn the television on. That's not what happens in our house. We do other stuff. So the same thing with social media. If your kid is, like, doing nothing but sitting on the computer, first of all, you can get the computer out of the bedroom, put it in the living room. They won't do that so much. Secondly, if they're just hanging out in the room on their smartphone all the time, perhaps you have to have a rule in the house as to when the smartphone can be used so that they can interact with their family. You know, we remember the days when people had a family sit down for dinner, family did things together. Well, we have to do that today. That's our responsibility as parents, to make sure our kids are well integrated into their family life and like each other and enjoy each other's company and not spending all the time hiding in their bedrooms, you know, with whomever, you know, because we don't even know who it is they're on the phone with or on the internet with. So that's something as parents, we need to really sit down and decide, how are we going to make our home life good for our kids?
Exactly. And don't be afraid to say no to your child, because you may actually be saving their life, or certainly keeping them out of harm's way. After
Absolutely.
All, you are the parent. You do not have to be your child's buddy, because if you are that, if you can be that, that's great. But in my experience,
Actually, you should never be a child's buddy. They got enough friends, and they got enough friends they don't need. You don't need to be another one they don't need. I mean, you need to be their parent. You can be a friendly parent,
but
you don't need to
be
their friend.
Absolutely. And there is, as a parent, your responsibility first and foremost is to parent that child and guide them into the direction that they cannot necessarily guide themselves. My guest is Pat Brown. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris Effacy. We'll be back in a moment.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Efesiou understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities. Go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and is the co-founder of BR Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to The Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Pat Brown. Please visit her website, patbrownprofiling.com, and on her Facebook page, Criminal Profiler Pat Brown, and she is Profiler Pat B on Twitter. While we were on break, we received a number of emails, and thank you for all of those. Keep them coming. Pat, I'm going to ask you the question that Bobby from Philadelphia is asking, and she says, when I try to caution my teenage daughter to the dangers she may encounter, she just thinks I'm being overprotective and a helicopter mom. It is so frustrating. What do you suggest I do?
Well, that can be a real problem, and I have heard other parents have that same concern. One thing I want to just point out for all parents is if your kids aren't teenagers yet, you want to start young. And I have a whole section in the beginning of my book called The Early Years, because one way that you get your kids to listen to you is to teach them to respect you as they're growing up, so they don't get to be, you know, when they get to be 13, they're like, I'm not listening to you, Mom and Dad. You
yep.
want to start young, that you do teach them respect. You do teach them that what you say makes sense. But let's say you're already there. You know, your kid's a teenager, and they're going, oh, you're just being ridiculous. One thing I really highly recommend is really work on logic. Kids do understand logic. I remember my grandmother once told me I couldn't go to a football game, and when I asked her why, she said, because I might fall down the bleachers. Now, that did not exactly make me respect her thinking. I was like, are you out of your mind? I mean, is that really your – I'm sure that wasn't the real reason. She didn't want me to go. But since she didn't tell me the real reason, made up this bogus thing, it made me just roll my eyes and then think she's an idiot. You know, so you want your children – to understand that when you say something, there's some sense behind it. So before you go and tell your daughter, I don't want you to do something, really figure out what it is that you're trying to tell her and why. If you can find some real-life examples as to why things, you know, bad things happen. For example, I love this show, To Catch a Predator. You know, yep. Anyway, Chris shows up, you know, and the predator comes to the house after being on the internet with the girl, and he shows up with his little bag of goodies, and, you know, and he says, oh, I'm only here to help her study. Like, sure, yeah.
Yep.
You're 47, the kid's 15. I mean, I sit there and with my son, and we just laugh. It's terrible, but we laugh through these shows because these guys are such psychopaths. Such, you know, just when the cameras come out and catch them, it's just, it's worth everything. I mean, I just love it. But when, if your daughter watches that, she'll realize, wow, look at all these sneaky little guys these guys are. That's what mom's worried about, some of these sneaky guys like that. It says if there's examples you can give where things really did happen to somebody that, you know, was the situation she was going into, you can say, hey, this is what happened. Here's an example of that. Because I think real-life examples do help. And there's a lot of them in the news. All you do is have to, your mom and dad can just Google it and come up with something that says, hey, here's a girl who, that's exactly the situation. Like she says, why can't I go jogging at dusk? I mean, you can find a lot of dead joggers.
Yep.
And you, and then you can, then it shows exactly why those joggers are dead. You know, so it's like, okay, that's why I'm trying to tell you. I'm not saying I don't want you to go jogging, dear, but you are a small girl and the psychopath is a big guy. So chances are when he jumps out of the bushes, he's going to clunk you over the head, and you're going to be on the ground so fast, and then you can't fight him off, and, you know, terrible things. I would hate to have that horrible thing happen to you, being raped and possibly murdered. And so, no, going jogging through the woods is not acceptable. Going jogging at dusk is not acceptable. And then, once you say those kind of things, whatever it is the situation is, help her find an alternative. Because, you know, it's not really fun to be told, no, you can't do it. And then, you know, mom and dad walks out of the room, and you're like, well, thanks a lot. Now I'm stuck with doing nothing. So what can I do? What's the alternative? So if you don't want to go to a party because you don't trust where she's going, you say the parent, there aren't parents there I trust. And she says, well, you know, what do I can't have any fun. Then you sit down and find a ways for her to have fun that are safe and find some things that she would enjoy doing and make sure she gets opportunities to do those things. And then she'll feel better about it. You know, and of course there are some times where she's just going to yell, you know, she shouldn't ever yell at you. She might just say, I think you're just being unfair, and you'll have to say, no, I'm not. And, you know, I've told you why, I've explained everything to you, I've offered you other suggestions, and as a parent, I have to protect you. And I just simply cannot allow this to happen. And that's that, you know, so, and then
exactly.
Later on, you know, she might whine, but later on she'll be happy and get her killed.
For sure. And sometimes, though it has never been my favorite answer, it's certainly an answer I have given several times. I told you so, or you may not like or understand or accept what I'm telling you, but you need to know that there is no other option. So begrudgingly, do it my way anyway.
But I do think the other things come first, and that's the important thing.
Without question.
Logical explanation,
yep.
And the alternatives. And then the final, which is sometimes I just still have to say no.
Yes.
Because it's just not happening here. That's just not acceptable in our family. And the important thing is also to say in our family. It's like,
yes.
I know you see other families do things differently. And
yep.
Every family makes their own choices. But we love you kids. This is our family. And we're going to make the best choices we can think for you. And, you know, when you're an adult and you have your own kids, you'll make those decisions for them as well. But this is our family, and this is the way we do things. Because every family is different, I mean. And if we can teach the children that, you know, one family may be more, let's say a family is very religious, you know.
Yes.
Let's say they're, you know, and they very strict on certain rules, and another family is very liberal. You can point that out and say, look, this particular family does this way, and these people do things this way, and we do things our way, you know, so they can see that, you know, there are choices being made by different families with different cultural backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. So they should not be ashamed of their family's choices, you know, that are being made. So they can tell their friends, no, that's just, you know, my parents believe this, and this is why my parents do things this way. And if their friends don't like it and the friends treat them really crappily, they need new friends.
without question. Well, my next question almost sounds like sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but the question is, are girls drinking and doing drugs more now than before? And obviously, I'm assuming that is not by choice. Oftentimes, much of those drugs that they may consume unwillingly may be date rape drugs. And date rape in general is something that is growing by leaps and bounds.
But let me say something here. Yeah, first answer to that question is yes. I think kids are doing way more drugs and alcohol and younger and stronger and more varied, much more varied drugs than were in existence many years ago. Secondly, yes, date rape is also on the rise. And the number one reason for that is girls gone wild. Girls drink too much and they do a lot of shots. And when I was growing up, we didn't have shots. So I had a beer or I had like a Tom Collins and I nursed it all evening because I was cheap and guy didn't want to pay for it. So, but now girls are doing shots, shooters, they're like throwing those suckers down and guys absolutely know that the girls can't handle it. They're big guys, they can handle a lot more liquor than the girls. Girls throw down a couple shots within 20 minutes, they're drunk off their butts and they cannot function. And so what the psychopath does, and he sees, has the girls around him, he looks for the girl who's drinking too much. And he moves in on her, or he even buys her a couple of shots. And he knows that when he can get her alone, she will not be able to function very well. First, she'll make stupid choices, like going with him. She shouldn't be going with him if she doesn't trust him implicitly. But after she's had, about seven drinks, she'll trust anybody. So she goes with him because he's a cute guy. And she ends up in his place, or he's at her place, or she's in the back room at a party, or she's only 15, and suddenly she finds herself on the bed with a guy. Maybe she's kissing him because that's okay with her, but then she suddenly realizes he wants more, and she's hardly functionable to say no or to stop him. And even if she tries to say no, he just keeps going. She doesn't have any physical strength to push him off or do anything. So she ends up getting raped by him, but there's no signs of physical force because there's no fight. And so later on when she goes and tries to report that to the police, they're like, well, it's a he said, she said, because we don't have any physical evidence. It'll never go to court. So that's one thing, girls are drinking too much. And about the roofie stuff, there's a lot of girls claim to be roofied. They haven't been roofied. They just drank too much. They don't want to admit that they tossed down that many shots and were completely unconscious. So they say they've been roofied. Now, does that mean that there aren't girls who have been roofied? Yes, there are girls who have been roofied. There are date rape drugs that are occasionally used, but it's pretty darn rare, much, much rarer than people think it is, because they say girls don't want to admit like what they've been doing. And that's what we have to talk to our girls about. Teach our girls, hey, you 120 pounds. Do you know how quick you get drunk on those shots? You know how quick that works on you and how stupid you get really quickly? Yep. So, that's the things we want to make our girls aware of and what can happen if they do drink too much because they lose their sense of intelligence, They just kind of lose it and they just like, everybody seems like a friend, everybody's okay to go with, and then it all ends up, the evening goes badly and they wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, what happened? You don't want your daughter waking up and saying that the next morning, having to live through that. So, alcohol and drugs are really railroading a lot of our daughters into a lot of bad stuff. And they're getting them younger and younger when they're less and less mature, so they can even make stupider decisions. So we need to keep our kids away from that junk. I mean, there's no reason for our kids to be involved in drugs. There's no reason.
Very true. Earlier you spoke about the creepy individuals, creepy boyfriends, and so on and so forth. And I'm certain that a young lady may find herself in a tough place, and she may be afraid to break up from a boyfriend that she may not necessarily like, but he creeps her out, and she is afraid of what he might do if he does not receive the news well. And the safe assumption is he will not receive the news well.
Right.
Are there ways to break up safely from such an individual?
Well, there are better ways and there's worse ways. There's no perfect way. Because once you get involved with a psychopath, you're dealing with somebody who is pretty dangerous. I mean, most psychopaths probably still won't kill you, but you don't know which ones are the ones who will. And you can't predict that with these kind of guys. So when your daughter she hooks up with some guy, and by the time she realizes that something's wrong with him and she doesn't want to be in a relationship, she wants to get away from him. Yeah, there are better ways and worse ways. The worst way is to just come out and insult him and tell him he's a worthless piece of junk and you don't want to be with him because then he hates her and then he's been insulted and his ego is busted up. So he may take that very nastily and start abusing her, go after her. So the first thing to do is not be real nasty when you break up. The best way is to have him break up with your daughter, maybe because she just becomes annoying. I mean, she's a good actress. That would be great. Just tell her to start talking about herself all the time, and that narcissistic guy won't like it. Tell her to be really silly and annoying, and, you know, so he just goes, oh, I don't want to be with her anymore. It's like, oh, good.
You know?
So if he dumps her, she's better off. The next best thing is to simply, say, you know, just try to say something. Blame it on your parents. You know, my parents won't let me date anymore. They're so, you know, just being so strict. They don't want me going out with any guys anymore. You know, at least try to blame it on somebody else and not him. But the most important thing of all, no matter how the girl breaks up with this guy, never be alone with him. Don't be alone when you break up with him. You know, be in a public location. Don't be alone. Don't go to his house and tell him this. Don't go back later when he says, you know, I've accepted the fact that we've broken up, but I just want to talk to you like one more time to get closure. And of course, he makes you feel really bad. So your daughter's really nice. So she's like, I don't want him to feel badly. So, you know, he asked me to come over to his house just to talk to him. So she goes over there, and then he gives her an ultimatum. Come back to me, or you won't go back. You won't go to anybody else. So she either says yes, she's going to be his girlfriend again, or he kills her.
Yep.
And that's happened to many a girl, because once she says no, he gets closure one way or the other. You know, he ends up winning, and she ends up losing. And so that's a situation you never want your daughter to get in. So one thing to really impress upon your daughter is she should never be alone with anybody. And this is true for going to a guy's place with him, going, you know, having him into your house, whatever. Just going to the park with somebody, any place you go with somebody. You want to impress upon your daughter, you should only ever go someplace with somebody you trust implicitly. Totally, absolutely trust. If in any reason you don't know him well enough to trust him, or he's treated you not very well, so therefore you don't trust him, if you just don't feel totally like he's totally trustworthy, you shouldn't be alone with him.
And it seems to me like there's an awful lot of common sense involved here that we should perhaps be more mindful of that, because, again, I've never been a proponent of communicating by text and not in person, but breaking up from a creepy boyfriend and doing that through a text message may be the safest way out. But
but he's going to be really pissed.
Oh, that's true.
If I got a text message of somebody telling me to bug off, I'd be kind of upset. So, you know, better off in like a McDonald's or, you know, some just place where, you know, you have people around you. And, you know, but the best thing is to teach your daughter not to get involved with these guys, because if your daughter learns to respect herself, really respect herself and have great ideas for the future and great positive, you know, things in her head that she wants to do with her life, what you're teaching her is she's not going to just kowtow to any guy who comes along. She's going to look for quality guy. And so when she meets a guy and he starts pushing her really quickly into a relationship, pushing her for sex right away, pushing her into doing things she doesn't want to do or ignoring her needs or her wants, that's a sign of psychopathy. She shouldn't be getting into a relationship with a guy like that. So if you teach her well enough to respect herself, then she won't rush into a relationship. She'll get to know the guy in a group, see whether he's really a decent, you know, nice guy before she even steps into any kind of more emotional relationship.
My guest is Pat Brown. You're listening to Straight Up with Chris on Voice America Variety Channel. I'm Chris FSCU. We'll be back in a moment.
Voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a father trying to figure out how to effectively communicate with your daughter? Perhaps you're a working mother trying to juggle the weight of running a business and a household. Entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, mentor, and coach, Chris Epicu understands the challenge of being a working parent. In the last 20 years, he founded several businesses, bought and sold companies, hired over 1,000 employees, while raising his daughter as a single dad. It is the parenting of his daughter that he considers his single largest accomplishment. Chris is now sharing his lessons on how to be a mentor, communicate effectively, and cultivate leadership principles for your business and your family by using the same skills and concepts common in all well-run businesses. His book, CDO, Chief Daddy Officer, The Business of Fatherhood, explores his relationship with his daughter and how he was able to negotiate his way to professional and personal success. Visit www.cdochiefdaddyofficer.com for more information on his book, speaking engagements, and other offerings and activities.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Straight Up with Chris, real talk on business and parenthood with your host, Chris Efesiou. If you have a question or comment for Chris and his guest, please call 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. If you'd rather send an email, please send it to chris@straightupwithchris.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Straight Up with Chris. I'm Chris Efesiou. My guest is Pat Brown, and we were talking about date rape and how to break up with a creepy boyfriend and things that upset and keep awake all parents. And while we were on break, we got an email question from Becky from Kansas City. She says, Chris, my daughter has been dating the wrong guy for 2 years, and it's a verbally abusive relationship. I've tried to advise her to leave, but that's not working. Any advice? I hate seeing my daughter hurt.
Oh, wow. You know, it's so hard, especially they've been in it for 2 years, because I don't know how old Becky's daughter is, but she's had a long-term relationship with somebody. And we all know that even if we have a short-term relationship, we still feel some kind of weird pangs, you know, we don't see them anymore. And it's like this person that was something to us once has suddenly disappeared. There's a loss there, even if we didn't like them that much. You know, it's kind of something odd in the human nature. But if you've been with somebody for 2 years, that person's a great part of your life, which is one reason I really encourage people not to let their daughters date too young, because they get emotionally too involved too quickly, and then that's somebody that's probably not going to be with them the rest of their life, and then they have to deal with the emotional breakup. So we have here this girl who doesn't obviously want to give up this boy because she's hooked into it. I think it would be really advisable for mom, you know, I know she's probably tried to sit down and talk to her about the verbal abuse, but I would like her to take a look at the signs of psychopathy. And there's a lot of them. There's, I have in my books, I have information on psychopathy, and also you can just go on, put it on just in the internet, you know, traits of a psychopath, and it'll come up with about 10 of them. And a lot of it's, you know, verbal abuse, manipulation, lying, treating the other person with no respect. It's all about them. It's never about you. If she gets that in front of her daughter and says, look, I love you, and I want a guy with you to love you. I want him to, you know, be willing to, you know, swim with sharks to save your life, not kick you in with the sharks. I want him to treat you the way a guy who loves a woman should treat, you know, a woman. So I think she really needs to work on what a good man acts like, and, you know, what a guy who is psychopathic acts like. If the daughter can start recognizing the psychopathic traits, she can start recognizing that she's minimizing what her boyfriend's doing, and she's accepting things she should never accept. And she should never want a man who loves her to treat her, supposedly loves her, to treat her that way. Obviously, he doesn't love her. And she needs to know that if he treats her, verbally abuses her, he does not love her. And she's staying with a man who doesn't love her. So that's what she needs to learn, is that verbal abuse is usually a sign of psychopathy and not loving you.
That is very, very wise advice. That advice and much more, and answers to almost any question that comes to mind, and many that don't come to mind, can be found in Pat Brown's book, How to Save Your Daughter's Life, which is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. Time flies when you're having fun. In the last 30 seconds we have, Pat, do you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I know you consider raising a child business, and I agree with that. When you have a child, it's a 20-some-year contract to get them to adulthood. We need to take our job as parents very seriously, because our children are the most important product of our lives, and we want to know that we've done a great job and can rest assured when they get to be adults that they're going to be happy adults. And that's why everything I put in the book is trying to help you get your daughter to that place where you can sit back and say, whew, she made it. She's doing okay.
And that's wonderful advice and very, very topical, because the vast majority of our listeners are parents of teenagers and parents of young adults. It's never too early to start doing that.
And never too late.
And never too late. Pat, thank you so much for your time and counsel. This has been enlightening and a absolute pleasure to have you on the show, and I hope you'll consider coming back on some future show and soon.
No question about it, Chris. I enjoy being on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chris.
Tune in next week when we discuss citizen fatherhood and the Fatherhood Project with my guest, Bill Daugherty. Please join me next Thursday at 6 p.m. East, 3 West on Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk for Business and Parenthood. Until then, seize the moment, every moment, at work and at home. Let's talk more next week. I'm Chris Efesiou. Thank you for listening.
Thank you again for tuning in to Straight Up with Chris, Real Talk on Business and Parenthood. Please join your host, Chris Efesiou, again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Make it an engaging week at work and at home.